Welcome to the presentation of results of the first quarter of 2020 of Grupo Sura. My name is Sylvia, and I'll be your operator for today's call. Right now, all the attendees are in silent mode. Ahead, we'll have a Q&A session. For those that are following us in English and connected only by web, please send your questions through the platform. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being taped. As of now, we give the floor to Juan Carlos Gomez, General Manager of Investor Relations. Good morning. Thank you for joining us in this teleconference of results of the first quarter of 2020 of Grupo Sura. I'd like to remind you that you have access to the recording of this conference at gruposura.com, where you can also find the presentation that will follow today. The attendees in English and the webcast, you can have the presentation both in English and in Spanish. And the questions of those that are in the webcast will be received only through the platform. Today we have in this call with us from Grupo Sura, our CEO, Gonzalo Perez, Ricardo Jaramillo, our CFO, Juan Ruiz Munera, Vice President of Legal Affairs, Luis Fernando Soto, Manager of Accounting, and from our affiliates, we have Carlos Oquendo, Vice President of Corporate Finance of Sura Asset Management, and Juan Fernando Uribe, Vice President of Investment Financing of Sura Americana. Now let's listen to our CFO, Gonzalo Perez. Greetings, everyone. This is my very first teleconference of results as the CEO of Grupo Sura. My name is Gonzalo Perez, and I've been in this group for more than 38 years, and as of April 1st, the board vested upon me the huge responsibility of leading the group and to succeed Dr. David Bujanini. So it's a pleasure to be with you. In this traditional call of the results of the first quarter, obviously, we have to make some special mentions, and for that, we'll look at an agenda which, as you expect, is different. The agenda is according to the circumstances that we're living. So first, let's talk about the employees. Then we'll talk about the clients and the business, moving on to society, the organization. Then we'll talk about risks and opportunities. And logically, we'll talk about the financial results. Beginning with our agenda, employees, as you are aware, for the 75 years of the group's existence, have been paramount factors as persons, paramount for the development of the strategy, paramount for the sustainability of the company, and for our competitiveness. Therefore, when the pandemic takes place, the priority of Grupo Sura and of the affiliates was to guarantee the physical, mental, and financial health of our employees, to assist each one of them and their families in that physical, mental, and financial health, which obviously led us to provide services to work remotely from all of us, to provide psychological assistance, economic assistance, anyways, circumstances that would lead to that physical and mental health that we are talking about. It also led us, fortunately, with the capability to do it, so that most of the employees, almost 30,000 of this group, could work remotely. As you can see in slide 5 in Colombia, exceptionally 10% of the services of healthcare are physical, and the rest of the people in Sudamericana can work remotely. Even in the other countries, it's almost 100. At Sura Asset Management, more than 90%, there are some employees that require to be present in their offices, but they're doing it with all the protections required. And when it comes to the group, the 84 employees have been working remotely, all, we insist, with that methodological support to maintain our health. And also, quite important to maintain the productivity, but especially to maintain the huge standards of services for the people and the companies that require them even more in times like this special pandemic time. Moving on to the next slide, and talking about our second topic, which is clients and businesses. We conceive it and the affiliates do too as something relevant. Today, more than ever, is when the clients, the people, need the assistance of each of the companies where we are present. Today, more than ever, we must be relevant regarding the people and the enterprises. And here, the big circumstances, besides what's said on the slide, is that we went beyond. Instead of restricting our services and our services, Suda Asset Management and Suda Americana expanded their services, enabling the channels. They expanded coverages. They anticipated, as you can see, the pensions. The workers' compensations company expanded also its coverage, facilitating without doubt the reactivation of the economy in terms of health. We played a very important role not only in Colombia, but in every country where we have health policies. Telemedicine, for instance, expanded to the 5 countries where Suda Americana has health coverages. Anyways, what's most important here to highlight is that the companies expanded their coverage, facilitating access of customers and people. And in that sense, today we can say that our service standards not only were kept regarding what we're used to do before the pandemic, but also expanded, improved after the pandemic regarding coverages, services, and processes. It's this very relevant for this time, and we'll see it with opportunities, that we reach the awareness of a digital transformation that we already had, and perhaps we really didn't appreciate it, but in very few days, both companies, Suda Asset Management and Suda Americana, just as Grupo Suda, but the two prior companies in number of daily operations could serve all of our people with our products and doing everything online, using online channels, and that made us aware of the strengths that we have been building for some time, but really the opportunity didn't rise. Also, we have the relevance of the opportunity also of the speed of adapting and of having a human talent that has had that capability to transform in such a short notice to keep high standards of service. Now let's continue with something which for this company and for this group from early on has been pivotal in its society. You are well aware that for us, the growth of the company should be harmonic. And from the early on, our participation goes beyond the natural order of the business. And we have a commitment with the corporations or societies where we are. So also, looking at early on from the pandemic, very specially, we took initiatives as a group and as each of the companies to support early on the healthcare sectors of Colombia and in every country where we operate, in the 10 countries where we are. We made investments through the foundation and through the companies that have made investments to protect all of the healthcare personnel, not only our own, but public hospitals that needed that support to increase their ICUs. Anyways, the first focus was how can we protect the healthcare institutions and the healthcare personnel. And through the foundation, we insisted, and through each of the companies, to make very significant contributions to that protection. Contributions which, besides, added to the knowledge that we in Colombia and in other cases in Chile have, and we have shared regarding healthcare services, how we can make the epidemiological fences, how our collaboration with the local and national governments have helped to contain the pandemic and to solve those that are infected in their physical health viewpoint. In addition, there are also two major objectives in all of this contribution we've made to society. One, how we can contribute to the people that have been affected by this pandemic, especially those that work in the informal sectors in Latin America, because that's the high rate, because more than 100,000 families have received food from several foundations of the group. So Grupo Sura obviously is present through the Grupo Nutresa, Grupo Van Colombia, and Grupo Argos as foundations, and we reach more than 100,000 families with low income, providing them food to solve at least their basic needs in this very difficult period for everyone, but especially for these people. Also, we've added our services to the economic reactivation, and there the workers' compensation, Sura and Colombia plays an important role, but ahead we'll see it. Company, Empresa Sura, and the rest of the countries, and Sura Asset Management, began to play a very important role. The workers' compensation has been using all the protocols so all the companies can begin their economic reactivation with the highest standards of security, and from Sura, to provide tools to all of the SMEs, especially in legal terms, in the taxes, in the digital marketing. It's been a very important contribution that we've made for the reactivation of the economy, especially for the SMEs. More than 20,000 SMEs have been hired, contacted right now, providing them that support for their economic reactivation. And as far as Sura Management, it's been working and creating new funds to support and finance the economic reactivation also of the SMEs. Anyways, we've worked with the healthcare to protect with protection, calling it people, families with low income, and we've also been part of the economic reactivation per se, the industry, where we are both in Sura Asset Management as well as trans risks and insurance in Suramericana. It's vital to have the economic reactivation, but beyond the products and solutions, we've added in this time more products, more solutions, and even expanded our capability to create value to people and enterprises. Moving on to slide 8, let's talk about risks. And we must begin by saying that these companies, given their natural knowledge and vitalness, are based on risk. And in that sense, we have an advantage compared to other industries where the risks are not their natural knowledge. And those risks have helped us to value, to evaluate the negative way of facing the risks, but also the opportunities found from the risk. It's clear for everyone that a lower economic activity will have an impact on the revenues of the companies. Unemployment will hit us, and exposure to financial markets that you know well will have an impact on us as well, and has impacted really our investment portfolios, their profitability and valuation. So in that sense, we're looking at the results as of March. In April, we anticipate that the results will be better than what we have been expecting from the viewpoint of income, even from the financial results. But as of March, we have already seen an impact on the economic activity and some impact on employment, on unemployment. When it comes to Suramericana, in insurance trends and risk, there's a clear expectation on the demand, like in every industry, especially regarding mobility, automobiles, and the corporate, because of the vulnerability of the companies and the SMEs, and the increased claims ratio of some solutions, which is relevant, but still, there's an increase of this claims ratio of some products that we have. And when it comes to Sura Asset Management, you have been aware of the regulation seeking the economic reactivation and the conservation of jobs has made some material temporary changes for Sura Asset Management. We expect that it's only temporary because it's required that they're only temporary to sustain the system. But more than that, for the expectation of the pension of each of the employees of the region, where it's very important to have a quotation in a time of quotation of each of us. In Colombia, as you are aware, there's a reduction of the contribution from 16% to 3% voluntary There's a process of program retirement that is not requested by the AFPs. It wasn't necessary, but the government is looking at it as part of having more cash flow in that process. Well, in Peru, the withdrawal of funds, and you know of, and the suspension of contributions in April has been determining, and the removal of 25% of the funds, which we clearly expect is only to face this crisis, to, let's call it, some liquidity to the SMEs and to keep the economy more active by keeping jobs, because structurally it would be very delicate for the people, even beyond them and the AFPs, for the expectation to reach the pension. Also, there are opportunities from this period. The first one, as I mentioned, the fact of being able to work under this volatility and the ambiguity, being able to work in such uncertainty, which we have been seeing since the conception and the strategic development of our management of trends and risks. We already saw that the human talent to make these companies competitive and sustainable, because of the speed in which the planet and the economy moves today, requires that human talent that's capable of working under high uncertainty, volatility, ambiguity, and speed. Today we're proving that in this period. So we can say that this is the first advantage that we are perceiving in this time of the pandemic. From there, we can also mention, like before, the digital transformation of the companies was beyond what we could have estimated and expected. And that major digital transformation enables efficiency frameworks. And as you are aware, these have to do with competitiveness and sustainability. These are some of the large lessons and opportunities that this pandemic period has delivered. Customer loyalty by giving every day to them more than expected from Sura Asset Management and Sura Americana has been pivotal for our sustainability as well. You know that the customer loyalty is strategic in these companies, and through it, we can obtain the main growth and therefore to attract new clients. So we believe that these have been great opportunities. But above all, there are other opportunities of how we can speed up the strategy in Suramericana. The trends in risk management today is a reality. To foreseeing this allowed us to quickly adapt to this new setting. But besides, it confirmed that this strategy is entirely valid and that the clients are also seeing it valid and resorting to us. As we mentioned before, we have 22,000 SMEs plus corporate clients that are supporting and leveraging on our trends and risks management, on our portfolio diversification, and also increasing the efficiency of Sudamericana, and using a model that's much more relevant. That's absolutely important today. And we firmly believe that this pandemic enabled this. When it comes to Sura Asset Management, there is no doubt. Also, we have this digital transformation that became evident. And investment alternatives were changed. The digital advisory service, many alternative channels supporting the economic reactivation, thinking about funds for SMEs, and we believe firmly that will activate a lot the capital markets, and it will give a new oxygen to the capital markets, in which Sura Asset Management will be a very important player in the region. So all these have been opportunities of these 2 months that we've had the pandemic, and surely will compensate the period that we've been living, and undoubtedly also will give us very good results it won't give us good results in the short term, but these lessons will guarantee our sustainability in the future. Financially, which now Ricardo will explain to you deeply in more detail, I'd like to highlight several things. Within our models, the net income of 2020 is quite guaranteed, as well as our solvency. I believe it's been the result of a professional vision of our equities, of legal reserves of the companies, of the financial exercise of the companies, which has been historical in this group for 75 years. The growth of the companies from their operation, as you can see in the figures, is quite significant. In Sudamericana, growth in premiums is at 9%. In healthcare services provided is 25%. At Suda Asset Management of commissions, we have 9%, a bit more. Anyways, these are very significant growths in the operation, practically as if we didn't have 15 days of pandemic and lockdown in March, meaning this is the first chapter, which we believe was an important chapter as of March in the results of both companies and in the accumulated the result of Grupo Suda. The affectation and the net income of the companies is exclusively and accountably only for one reason or two. First is the valuation of the market prices of our portfolio, and this is seen in the legal reserve. As you know, at Suda Asset Management, there is an equity method in protection and the provisions in Bancolombia, which are natural in times like this, which have to be increased precisely for that protection and that solvency. Lastly, I'd like to remind you again, as we said, that in April, both for Suda Asset Management and for Sudamericana, the results are better than what we had expected, and the growth is still being affected in a month like April with the lockdown, but better than what we expected, and with the financial result that, as you know well, recovered compared to the result of March, and therefore we expect that April will be a much more positive April than what we expected. Now Ricardo will give you more details of the financial statements as of March. Thank you so much. It really is a pleasure to be with you at this first teleconference of the results of the company this quarter. Thank you so much, Gonzalo, and welcome to the teleconference of results. I'd like to say hello to everyone, and I hope that you're all well of health at home. So let's continue with slide number 10. We're talking about the financial vision that we're facing in the crisis. I'd like to focus on two main things. First, the cash flow of Grupo Suda in 2020, and then the cash position and solvency of the affiliates. First, it's important to remind you the high predictability that the cash flow of Grupo Suda has, in which approximately 85% of the dividends to be received have already been decreed, and 42% have already been paid. This leads us to expect to have, as you can see on the slide, an operating cash flow close to a trillion pesos. The uses of this money is also seen in the graph, mainly in interest, dividends, and also we see the yield of the debt of about 131 billion pesos, of which we already paid 100 billion. And this is only the debt of the holding. Likewise, we continue with the strategy to increase our coverage, exchange coverage, and it's important to give the message that the main focus right now is to begin to plan the 2021 cash flow, understanding that this year we have the maturity of an international bond of $300 million and other banking maturities. On the very bottom of the slide, you can observe the cash position of the affiliates. And beginning with Sudamericana, it's important to show you that we have cash available of about 500 billion pesos after the recent approval that we have from the superintendents of the spin-off of a portfolio as a result of the merger of the life and workers' compensation company. Sudamericana has also a debt service close to 150 billion, which would add in total as a consolidated group that we are lowering the debt for our 200 billion pesos. Likewise, the solvency of the companies can still exceed the regulations given the orthodox manners in which we've handled solvency. Now moving on to Suda Asset Management, it's important to mention here that we have cash available of $200 million, mainly in Chile, as a result of the disinvestments we've made in the past and the generation of the cash flow of the company in that country. This allows us then for the companies to navigate the crisis with a healthy cash flow position that will give us peace of mind in these times. Now let's look at the consolidated results of Grupo Sura initially, and then of the affiliates. Beginning in slide 12, I'd like to highlight there are two messages that Gonzalo mentioned before, and that summarize the financial statements, particularly the income statement of Grupo Sura. And it's that on the one hand, we have a very good growth dynamics in the main business lines of the affiliates. You can see that in the first three lines of the income statement. Retained premiums grew 10%, income from commissions grew 6.4%, and services provided grew 25.4%. And second, it's important also to be aware of the negative impacts that we had, exclusively accounting, because of the financial markets and the valuation of the investment portfolios. In addition, we can add the impact of the exchange difference related to the devaluation of the peso and the reduction of the equity method, mainly by Bancolombia, because of the provisions that that entity has had to make during the crisis. So now let's look at the table in which I would like to highlight that the income reached 4.7 trillion pesos, down 6.6%, sliding or decreasing 334 billion pesos. But look at what we talked about before. Only the income from investments has dropped 630 billion pesos compared to 2019. On the other hand, we see operating expenses growing 6.3%, operating revenue decreasing 71% with a decrease in numeric terms of 600 billion pesos. Again, very related to the impacts that we showed in the income from investments before. And in the financial result, we have the impact of the exchange difference highlighting a devaluation in the quarter of 700 pesos per dollar. And even when compared with 2019, the difference is higher since at the first quarter of that year, the difference in the exchange was positive. So with this, we reach a net income of minus 76 billion pesos, which we'll analyze ahead in the next slide. So let's look at slide 13. And there, we can observe that the net income we begin in 2019 with 560 billion pesos. We can see how Sudamericana subtracted 12 billion pesos. Now we'll deepen on why that figure. While Suda Asset Management is opening in two components. The one related to the operation of the company, which adds 12 billion pesos, and the component related to legal reserve, which subtracts about 370 billion pesos. Then we see the impact of the equity method, again, mainly due to the results of Bancolombia. And later, we move on to the items related to Grupo Sura, which are in the table, the gray table. And we see that the main item is the exchange impact again. An item or an impact that is merely accounting related to subtract from the group 140 billion and reaching a negative income of 76 billion pesos. If we would exclude the impacts of the legal reserve and of the exchange in Grupo Sura, we could make an analysis and see the dotted lines, meaning we would move from an income in 2019 of 367 billion to an income in 2020 of 274 billion, dropping 25.4%. Now let's look at the consolidated results of Sudamericana, and I invite you to look at slide 15, highlighting first the operating dynamic positive growth of the revenue that contrast with the lower revenue or income from investments. The company reached $4.3 trillion in income, growing 14.6%. But if we look at the indicators on the right of the slide, you can see that both losses and legal reserves show a slight degrade in terms of claims ratio, but at levels that we still consider normal. For a technical result of 643 billion pesos with a growth of 6.1%. Operating expenses as a percentage of the operating revenue have been inclusively decreasing about 90 basic points, up 8.8%, which we consider are controlled. Lastly, investment income from investments has dropped 11.2%, meaning 31 billion pesos. Moving on to slide 16, you can see in detail the profit of Sudamericana in the quarter. So we can highlight the reduction of the net income, explained mainly because of the devaluation of financial assets. And we begin with a net income in 2019 of 118 billion pesos in the company. So let's look at each of the segments. First, let's begin with life. The life segment has grown in premium, written premiums 18%, an improvement of 30 basic points in claims ratio to reach a net income of 106 billion pesos. Here it's very important to highlight there are about 10 billion pesos related to the VAT and commissions, which during 2019 weren't held and are held in 2020. On the other hand, in casualty, we observe the growth of written premiums for 6.1%, degrading in the claims ratio by 180 basic points, and this segment reached a profit of 3 billion pesos. But here mainly it's because of significant impact in the portfolio of 36 billion pesos in Argentina and 6 billion in Panama. Moving to the healthcare or health segment, we see that the segment continues very good income growth, growing 25.3%. In this segment, we are reaching close to 3.8 million of affiliates. And we had a cost indicator, a degrade of about 60 basic points, specially related to several investments made in the company to prepare for the COVID. When we look at the corporate segment, which adds up to 8,340 million to reach a total net income in the quarter of 106 billion pesos, dropping 9.8, which, if we keep in mind the two factors I've mentioned, the income related to the portfolio of Argentina, and on the other hand, the VAT of the commissions of life of 10 billion pesos, the company would be growing its net income 28.6%. So the message here is that the business has been growing healthy and in a positive dynamics. Now let's move to the next slide, in which we'll look at the consolidated results of SUDA Asset Management. We see resilient growth of the commissions affected by the profitability of the legal reserve and obviously by the effect of the equity method, where we also bring the legal reserve effect for protección. The company reached income from commissions that are healthy of 635 billion pesos, up 9.6%. And we can see on the right-hand side of the slide in the net income how, despite having positive growth in commissions, both the equity method as well as the yield of the legal reserve created a decrease of about 60% in the company's income. Here it's important to highlight that both components, the yield of the legal reserve and the equity method, mainly is due to the accounting effects and not of cash flow. It's really a devaluation of the portfolio. Moving to the lower part of the slide, you can look at operating expenses. The company reached expenses of 443 billion pesos, up 8.7%, below the growth of the revenue. And when we look closely at the expenses of acquisition as a percentage of commissions plus the margin of the insurance, it grew 0.8%. Administrative expenses grew 11.6%, and operating earnings, excluding the legal reserve, decreased only 7.4%. At the end, we can see then the effect more specific of the yield of the legal reserve, which obviously had a very negative performance, as we've mentioned, in the financial markets. Moving on then to slide 19, we see in detail at the net income of Suda Asset Management, and we begin with the net income of 2019 of 225 billion pesos. Looking at the different segments, let's begin with the mandatory, which had a positive growth of AUMs of 7%, reaching 417 trillion pesos, and a variation of revenues of 4.5%. However, the strong impact of this segment, as we've said before, was related to the yield of the legal reserve. Here we can highlight that this growth of the commissions is mainly driven by the growth of 7.5% in local currency in Chile and 8.8% in the local currency in Mexico, which was compensated somehow because of the increases in Peru related to the bid that you are aware of, and as we've mentioned in prior calls, and also the decrease in Uruguay. Now let's look at the voluntary segment, which has been shown growth of income from commissions of about 20%, reaching 56 trillion pesos in AUMs, with a variation of AUMs of 3%, and with a variation of clients of 12.2%. This segment subtracted 2 billion pesos in the income. And moving on to the segment, corporate segment, which again is framed in the gray part of the slide, it's close to 37 billion pesos, mainly related to the financial result from the cash inflow in dollars that the company has in Chile, and which presented an exchange difference that was positive. So with this, we reach an income that is negative of 130 billion pesos. But again, as we saw it in the case of Grupo Suda, if we exclude the effect of the legal reserve and we look at the two incomes that we have on the slides, we see that the net income of the company is from the merely operating viewpoint is a message, and this is something we want to highlight, is from 87 billion pesos to 101 billion pesos, up 16.3%. So these are the results, the summary of the financial results, which you can find in more detail in the report that we publish. And right now, we can begin then the Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we can begin the Q&A session. We'll begin receiving the questions from the Spanish attendees. Those that are attending in English are connected by the webcast. Please send us your question in written form through the platform. We will be answering your questions later on. Those in Spanish, if you have a question, please press star and then one on your phone. If you want to remove from the waiting list, just press pound. Here we have Catherine Ortiz from Corredores Asociados. Good morning. Can you hear me well? Very well. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. Gonzalo and Ricardo, I would like to know, perhaps, could you give us more details of what's taken place in April and in May in every segment? For instance, the premiums placed or written, contributions to the pensions funds. In Peru, how much has been withdrawn to date so we can understand what can happen during the second quarter of the year and the final impact that COVID can have in the performance, at least for now, in this quarantine. Okay, Catherine, I hope that you are doing well. Really what we've seen in April is that the business has continued with good operating dynamics, as we've mentioned. We are seeing growths in premiums of about 5%. In income from commissions of Suda Asset Management, they were hurt because of the measures taken in Peru, but in the other countries, we've seen similar growth because we are not seeing yet the levels of unemployment yet, of a higher unemployment. In service, healthcare services provided, there is less growth, about 22% in April, but still it's a very positive growth. And what's important as well is that two of the effects that we mentioned for March, meaning income from investments and exchange difference, have had some effect on the on that trend. We have recovered, depending on the portfolios, from 30% to 50% of what we saw that in drops in March, and the exchange difference with the dollar has changed its trend, and there we have less impact. These are the preliminary figures we have. We haven't had the board meeting in May that shows the results in detail of April and May, but it does show us that operational, April was much better than what we expected. Yes, thank you for your question. I would like to add, overall, the conservation has been very good for both affiliates, and that's a purpose that we have, because, as we said, it's a basis for the sustainability of both companies. So overall, without having an exact figure of the customers that we have kept, we do see that the numbers that we still have is very relevant for April and May. Perfect. What a doubt. In terms of the effects, and I understand the report you're giving us, are we looking really at the development of the spread? But have you made an exercise looking at some estimates in Colombia of the number of people that are affected by the virus and the impact in health and life, exclusively looking at the COVID? Yes, literally, we are constantly making a daily evaluation of the curves, not only in Colombia, but in the 10 countries where we operate. And we are looking at those curves, comparing them with the results, to the point that we're looking at the economic sectors and the impact, as we've mentioned before, is that despite everything that we're living, we're not meeting, yes, the revenues that we have budgeted, but we will have lower income and we'll have some losses, but what we see and insist on is that we don't have solvency margins problems. And so we do have developments. We are analyzing this information every day, and we're making a follow-up between the knowledge that we have in health of the pandemic as well as other sources of information in the areas of risk. So for Suda Asset Management, for Suda Americana, systematically, we do see those, we have been carrying out these exercises and models. So what is important to insist on is that all of these modelings in April still confirm that the company's solvency and liquidity is guaranteed. Okay. I don't know if that means if it's possible to have a guide of claims ratio and what you expect it to increase to. It's very difficult, really, to tell. Uncertainty today is part of something that we'll have to start to manage. So it's hard to answer. And in health, even more, because one more day or less really has an effect on the claims ratio of the company. And for decades, we have been used to managing this, but to talk about claims ratio projected is something that's not prudent for now. Perfect. Thank you so much for your answers. Thank you. Daniel Guardiola from ABG. Good morning. I hope you are all well. I have several questions on two matters. One is leverage. If you look at the leverage of the holding company, during the quarter, there was a degrade. Even looking at the dividends that will be received during 2020, which were approved, as Ricardo said. So my first question with leverage, do you see any risk that the dividends decreed and approved by the shareholders assembly will be deferred? And my second question is, what measures are you implementing to control a possible additional degrade of the leverage for next year with the income and the dividends decreed, which surely will have a contraction? So that's my first question. You can start answering that, and then I'll ask the second question. Perfect, Daniel. Likewise, we hope that you're doing well. Okay, there are several items that I'd like to touch. In the financial statements as of March, the leverage was really related. If you only look at the financial position, it does have to do with the dollar. What do you have to keep in mind? That there's an item in that that's related to coverages, because most, as of March, most of the exposure to dollars is covered. So we already know exactly. We already looked, took care of that debt in dollars. That has to do with the financial statements. In others, as I said before, we expect during the year to amortize the debt. We even plan, we have maturities, and that could be depending of how we see the situation or the development of the profits of the company, because we have to start planning, as you said, the cash flow for 2021. So in 2020, we expect to drop decrease the leverage. Also, most of the dividends have been decreed. We don't expect right now to have any restrictions to provide these dividends. 42% have already been given. There is no doubt, and here I see the questions that we're receiving, definitely we will have an impact on the dividends received in 2021. Right now, as Gonzalo just said, the uncertainty is huge. As you know, dividends comes from the five main investments, especially Sura Asset Management, Sura Americana, and Bancolombia, are the ones that contribute the most dividends. And we have to monitor step by step the profitability of each company. Right now, to imagine how it will be is very difficult. As Gonzalo said, we are using some models, they're using models constantly, and everything that's connected is the development of health and the public policy measures implemented to see how many quarantines we'll have, because quarantines really are really the ones that are hurting our unemployment rates and the economic activity and provisions in banks, possibly the demand of our products, the insurance, and unemployment and Sura Asset Management. So I believe it's very difficult right now to commit to say how the level of dividends will be in 2021. However, we, knowing that, we have an important obligation to refinance the bond of $300 million next year. We are analyzing as of now, and we've been doing it even before the pandemic. We've been looking at the alternatives we can use to refinance it, either through international markets, local markets, and we believe that the company has enough freedom to refinance that obligation. Again, I think that what is most convenient right now is that while we see some progress, we can provide you figures not only for 2020, but for 2021. Thank you, Ricardo. And my second question is for Gonzalo. And I'd like to understand the three main goals that Gonzalo would like to reach in his new position to understand how you think. Thank you for your question. First, let me say something I repeated, is to not stay trapped in the present. After passing this period, there are several things that are fundamental. One is to have a grupo sura strategy and that of affiliates, and that strategy, as mentioned during these years, is the one that seeks long-term sustainability and gives value to companies and people. And that's fundamental because the first thing we do as a group is to ask ourselves is how can we use our knowledge to leverage our affiliates and how can we be better with our investment. So that strategy will create more loyalty from clients and to attract more clients. And there we can solve the fundamental problem in market penetration. We have to continue working in that because we are in industries where we have a lot to do still in every country from Sud Asset Management and Sud Americana's affiliates and our main investments and in the banking. So that's very important because the first thing that we have to guarantee is market penetration and value for our clients. Second, also is to use operating models. Fortunately, as we've mentioned in this talk, this pandemic has shown us the capability we have for transformation and efficiency. So the second task is to use our knowledge and models to implement our strategy, but to have higher efficiency indicators. We've been working systematically to find better efficiency levels that will undoubtedly become more income and sustainability for our companies. And the idea is to improve the profitabilities that we have in our affiliates in every country and also that of Grupo Sura as a result of those new operational models. We highlight, as we said before, that this period has shown us that we do have digital transformation and the capability to transform processes that will undoubtedly lead us to have more efficiency levels. Here, all our affiliates are very relevant, and that path has to be made on a short, medium, and long-term basis. And third, obviously, everything has to do with investments management. As Grupo Sura, we not only have investments, the main ones in Sudamericana, but also in the industrial sector, but we manage those investments through knowledge. The fact, I mean, we have five main businesses, and to be throughout the region, the leverage of that knowledge, and from here, with the knowledge applied to leverage all of those investments, is something that sets us apart, and we have to deepen upon so that we can be the best owners of each of these investments. So these are the large goals, three large goals I have. That's the work that we'll be focusing on. Remember, competitiveness comes from the knowledge we have applied, seeking to penetrate the market leveraged by Grupo Sura, using strategies and affiliates second, more efficiency, using models, not only reducing expenses, but using efficient models, in, which have we have proven in this period answered with applied knowledge, which helps us to share the knowledge we have in the main five main investments we have throughout the countries. Thank you, Gonzalo. Can I ask you another question? With regard to the third goal of investments management, do you have a goal or I don't know, a tool that you plan to implement to de-block the hidden value? Because there are many listed assets. And another question, have you considered to disinvest assets in which you have non-controlling interests? No. Today, we are focused on the profitability of all of our operations. That's the most important thing that we have to do. Every operation which still has some income level that can be increased in the last decade are investments that can grow still. And that's the focus that we have in our strategy on a short-term and medium-term basis. These are investments that are powerful enough and large enough, and we have no doubt will leverage Grupo Sura in its results and its growth. And that will allow us, in turn, to start rethinking on different solutions and investments. However, it is important to say that today, the investments that are not core, like Sodexo, wasn't disinvested, even in the Dominican Republic, where we had a minority share, and Brinks. I mean, all of these investments, which are not part of the core of the group's investments, have been realized because clearly they were part of our goal. So the idea is to strengthen what and leverage what we have today. Thank you. Let me add to what Gonzalo said. Gonzalo is focusing on the main task that we have of increasing the value of our investments, but there's another component, is that the market is looking at the values differently to us. So I've said it many times, this company has a list of initiatives that it's working on to eventually see how the liquidity of the share, et cetera, can lead us to close the perception of the market and what we believe companies really are worth. So we have to look at the profitability and how the holding can close that discount. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you. We have Joana Castro from Itaú. Good morning. Thank you for your talk. I have two questions related to, now that Gonzalo managed an operation in which Sura was extremely efficient until it acquired international businesses, I'd like to understand his viewpoint or the biggest difficulty he sees in Grupo Sura to handle the efficiency within the companies. I understand that there is a topic of size, but it's been very difficult for Sura Asset Management to control administrative expenses consistently. I understand that now there are different new models used, and I'd like to know about them more, because I understand perfectly a 0.5% of savings in Sura Asset Management for the holding is a bunch of money. So that's my first question. Tell us more about these operational models to increase the efficiency that Gonzalo mentioned. And second question, what mechanisms do you think you can use to anticipate within your role as a holding to improve the operations of a company like Bancolombia? Well, let's begin with the first question. The acquisition process of these companies and we already have stories that have taken place, companies like Paloma, which is creating a lot of value, but it took time to do so. So I think it's something natural in different industries, in different countries, and in different types of companies. So why does it take longer than expected or wanted? Because it undergoes a process, and this is for Suda Asset Management and Suda Americana. Because first we have to invest to then look at the operational efficiencies. When we have a long-term basis, first we have to make an investment to seek the operational efficiencies. If you allow me, I'm not an engineer, but I'd like to say that the taller the building, the deeper the columns. So we have to invest more to reach those operational models and to have more efficient companies. We have to look at both things. Not only for efficiency do you have to look at expenses, but also revenues, and that has to go hand in hand. So the first reason is that we have to invest. And we have very clear examples like investments in advertising that companies didn't do, or market analysis, investments in channels, even investments in the core of the companies. In this company, there are huge investments in the core, which if we wouldn't make, we wouldn't have the significant net income we see today. So we take time. It's because we want to make a long-term investment, and we need to have very, very sound bases, pillars, so that we can have solutions for products, services, and also, obviously, using operating models with good technology. Second, that operating model that you've mentioned is one in which we began to work in the companies with people and companies towards it, meaning that will facilitate that the processes that didn't exist. Today we have a good sample in this almost 2 months. There are processes that stop existing or will disappear. There are other processes that have to be changed. How we can have more direct access to companies and people and build a better bridge from Suda Asset Management and Suda Americana. So there's something there are many money desks and many at Suda Americana and Suda Asset Management that will help us guarantee that the operational model is based on good processes. Let me add, we reduce expenses, yes, but we have a spectrum that's very small. So up to where can we reduce expenses is an important spectrum, but small. But when we change the operational model for higher competitive levels, let me give you an example that's clear and historical. In the HMO, we had expenses for 14%. Today, it's only 4.8% with the operational level that you can imagine. So it is possible, but you have to change the operational model. The idea is to provide different solutions and how the companies have to do things differently. So that's the path that companies are seeking to create undoubtedly higher net income. Let me see, I'm missing something. Is there something of your question that I left out? Oh, the bank. The bank is the same. The bank was going very well on its path, and it was affected in March, obviously, because the bank's provisions were affected, but the growth of the bank systematically, if you look at the history of the bank, today the indicators are way below 50% in the bank. March was not a good time, but there we're also taking care of new operational models regarding efficiency. Something is very clear for everybody. Efficiency has two connotations, and we prefer to talk about the operational model for that because it's not only reducing expenses, which we insist is an activity for only on a very short-term basis. it's not, it will be okay till May, but not for long-term projections. So this should lead us to have lower costs, and those lower costs should lead us to have more market penetration. So with this work, the bank is also carrying out its part. It's been showing year after year good results, and this year the bank had a very good indicator, way below 50%. As you know, I've been in this board 15 years, and that order early on, we wanted to be before 50, and structurally, we've managed that goal. And it shows us a different trend, but really, operationally, the bank has a different trend. Thank you so much for your answer. I would add that the bank has been able to operate very satisfactorily, understanding that there are many offices closed. And I think that this will lead us to think that there, according to the operational models of Gonzalo, how to increase efficiencies in the bank. Excuse me. It's important to highlight as well, there are lessons with COVID-19, yes. But what we mentioned before is that in these 2 months, we've learned how to be more efficient, to have more efficient operations for higher sustainability levels. Now we have Heidi Lester. Good morning to everyone. I hope you are well. I have 4 questions. One, related to the losses recorded in the pension fund managers. Tell us more about that decrease of the legal reserve. Second, when it comes to the repurchasing of stocks, will you execute this or not, in the amount and the time taken for this repurchase? Third, in the last issuance of stocks made by Grupo Suda, the preferential stocks, Mr. Bohanini back then said that on a medium long-term basis, Suda Asset Management would be listed. Have you reevaluated that chance? And my fourth and last question has to do with the companies of the group. Have you thought about disinvesting in companies of the group? Thank you. Thank you, Heidi, for your questions first. Specifically, when it comes to the decrease of the legal reserve, we have not discussed this yet. We have another question that has to do with the regulatory context in the region, but I would like Mr. Munera to talk about the overall concepts of those regulations and their development. But particularly regarding your legal reserves, we haven't seen any change in that point. Second, the repurchase of stocks. I think it's important to say that the shareholders delegated to the board a cash flow for a certain amount for 3 years to execute that possible reacquisition of stocks. So it is an option. And I'd like to highlight that our priority is focused now on the liquidity and solvency, and that additional use of resources must be clear, and we have to be sure that it's the right time to use it. Although the price of the stock is quite low, and it could be an interesting financial moment, we have to be careful with the cash flow, and we have to see when it's more convenient to use the amount, keeping in mind that we have a 3-year horizon. The third item, your question, you remember the discussion held to list Suda Asset Management was related highly to the financial investors that were leaving. However, we have the devaluation. We decided not to list it. and not to have the financial investors through bilateral transactions. So I understand that that topic was touched before, but today it's not on the table. What we as a company and as a group do have to see, keep in mind, are the opportunities out there. And if we see, and when we see that it's good to list Grupo Sura, Sura Asset Management, or Sura Americana, it's something that we'll be analyzing ahead. But for now, I can say we have nothing on the table on that issue. And as to your fourth question, right now, we're not evaluating either any disinvestments of the strategic company because regarding price, it makes no sense. And those five investments are very strategic for Grupo Sura. Part of the vision also includes the fact that today, more than ever, we're looking at the strength of being diversified in different regions and in different industries. I mean, there's a strength in the portfolio today that's proven in these months with so much volatility. So it's that diversification is increasingly important. Thank you so much for your answers. Thank you, Haidu, for your questions. Right now, we have no further questions by phone. Now let's listen to Ricardo Jaramillo to answer the questions from the webcast. Okay, we have several questions by web. Some were already asked by phone. We have De Guardiola, he already asked his. So now we have from Unicra, who asked us, she says that in casualty insurance, you had a drop of what happened in Mexico and Panama. Let me clarify when I talked about the impact of both countries, especially because of the losses from the valuation of investments of the companies that we have in both countries. So Sudamericana has financial portfolios to support that legal reserve. And, of course, these are the two countries that were hit in March. We have a question from Sura Investment Management. What's the claims ratio related to the loss of employment in Sudamericana? Loss of operation. Maria Jose, this topic originally was structured that everything was dependent on a material damage, and that's why the impact has been null, because clearly there is no coverage of this because of the COVID-19, and there is no material damage, so the coverage isn't there. Perhaps in the head. Ahead we'll think about that. But today the impact is, the material damage is zero because of COVID-19. Daniel Duarte from Corfi Colombiano asked, what's the current status of, let me see, Daniel, that we have made no report. We consider this time is of a lot of volatility and uncertainty, and to look at things on a 10-year basis, a long-term basis in the companies is to make those assumptions right now would be very complicated. So to respond, we have made no exercise for that. Maria Cruz from Seminario. In your investments in airlines, tell us about that. How are you doing? We understand that practically we are not exposed to airlines. I cannot tell you there are minor points in some of the portfolios we have in other countries, but there is no real investment in airlines. To complement, we have no position in bonds or stocks of Avianca. Our portfolios, the only thing we have with Avianca is that we are the insurers of labor risk. Ricardo? Yes. Carlos Oquendo from Sura Asset Management, I'd like to compliment by saying that we had something small in airlines and Integra and in capital in the funds in Peru. But before the crisis, also in Chile, the capital we have there is quite minor, not representative. Perfect. Thank you both. Roberto asked us a question that has been answered, I believe, with regards to the dividends and how we see the dividends for 2021. Again, we're looking at different options for that. Luis Carlos from Itaú Asset Management asks, could you give us an update on the regulation? Could you give us more information of the monetization of the digital? How should we see your efficiencies in income and expenses? Because of the many new regulations in every country, I think that Juan Luis Munda can give you a better answer for this. Good morning. As Ricardo said, the many regulations issued in Colombia and in the region has been extensive. So you could say that there are patterns or overall characteristics of the regulations which are aimed first to create exceptional status in which the executives of every government can issue regulations swiftly to face the situation, the pandemic. And this is something that we've seen throughout the region. Lockdowns have been decreed in most of the countries with less or more or less restrictions, but still that's been something seen throughout the region. In every country, we've also seen regulations issued to create relief for sectors that could be hit hard by the emergency. So on that, there's a lot of similarity in the different regulations that have been issued. And I would say that this is finally really the regulations. What they do is to adapt to the emergency situation experienced. And as the situation expands in time or changes or is worse or better, regulations will surely will follow the parameters, general parameters. So that's something I could say about like an overview of the region, because there are many regulations, so it makes no sense to talk about each specifically. Mostly are temporary regulations focused on serving the current situation. Let's continue. We're asked also from Luis Alberto, what's the decision of the government's decision regarding the percentage subtracted from pensions? Luis Alberto, we are aware that the effect should be entirely neutral, meaning the request made by the Colombian government has to do with pensional commutations. So the effect has to do relating the asset with the liability, and there should be technically a null effect. I move the asset I have in accordance with the liability that I have of the people that transfer their pension. And that's a valuation truly actuarial and financial. So for us, it's simply making that transfer of the assets with the people that are pensioned, which should give us a neutral effect, technically speaking. Juan Sanchez from Cruz Capital asks, if the repurchasing of stocks is still going to be taking place, as we replied that we haven't made any decisions yet. From JEI, we're asked about the future of the real estate business of the group with this COVID. Carlos Oquendo can give us a hand with this response. Yeah. Definitely this business will be hit in the future. However, specifically for the Colombian Fund, we had recently gathered the capital and we had invested little, so we have a dry power there that's interesting. I think we will have the chance of acquiring assets with good discounts. So specifically for these funds, we see interesting opportunities, again, because of the capability of investment that we still have. Perfect. We don't have any more questions, written questions, so without further ado, we'd like to thank you all for joining us. We're open to any questions you may still have. And again, this is something that we have to manage step by step because of the uncertainty that we're facing. And we can provide you guidelines. As we can provide you guidelines of what we're doing, we will. We'd like to highlight as well the important role that we are playing in Suda Asset Management and in Sudamericana as affiliates, and also the bank in economic reactivation. This is something that we've been managing in risk, and there, as we've mentioned before, we are correlating the COVID-19. We're looking at the industries that are hit the most and how we can support these types of industries, the SMEs, and that, of course, implies reactivating the economy for all and to protect the income of Suda Asset Management and Sudamericana. So the virtue of working with AUMs that are using the best knowledge for economic reactivation is great for the country, and positively the results of both companies. And with that order of ideas improving, we hope the position that we can have in the future. Thank you all for joining us, for attending this teleconference. And as Ricardo said, here with Juan Carlos, we are willing to answer any questions you may have. We are aware that there's a lot of uncertainty now, and therefore, we would like to answer all your questions when we can. Thank you all. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This ends our teleconference for today. Thank you for attending. You may hang up now.